too. So, but that's a story for another day. So we're going to be presenting our growth plan, perfect, to you this morning. Just to kind of give you a little bit of a background to this, I'm a person that's very good at learning from reading books. Some people are not like that. That's just kind of, I'm very good at it. So I decided, I really thought, kind of getting tired of our congregation shrinking in numbers, and I wanted to allow us to grow. So what I did was I got on Amazon and I found the top rated growth books on church growth. And I went through them. This one here is by Rich Birch called Church Growth Flywheel. Talks about big events. This one here is one that's been around a little bit. Becoming a Welcoming Church. Okay. This one was kind of depressing, but it was very informative. The Autopsy of a Deceased Church. Very heartbreaking, but very informative. And this one here, which we're going to talk about, was how to grow your church. This is all about following up with our guests. And when you hear the Barno method this morning, it's from this book here, Barno, written by Tracy Barno. Well, I want you to think for a minute how things were a couple of 3 years ago. I want to kind of talk to you about that. A few years back, we had quite a few more numbers. We've had some people, sadly, some of our members pass away. Some of them move. Some of them we need to get back in touch with and get them back on board so they can start attending again. But we need to get to growing. And we need to get to growing now, okay? We need to get our numbers back up. I would love it one day if we could have a vacation Bible school again. Do you remember those days? Vacation Bible school? It's really kind of sad. Where we could have classes for all of our kids. We could have children's Bible hours. But there's a lot of work to be done. And I'm all for work, especially if it's productive work. So let's look at this plan together today. So I tried to, hopefully this didn't come out too dark. You can't even read the text. That wasn't a very good picture, I guess. I tried to find a picture that shows our current state. We're in dark waters. We're in a situation that we find ourselves is not a good situation at all. And just like a doctor will tell you, before you can start to fix anything, you have to know where you are first. What is the prognosis? So we are not in good shape. We have a congregation that's getting up there in years, which will mean we'll lose some of them gradually, which is a very sad thing. A lot of that's happened this year, and it's been very heartbreaking, actually. So let's look at some of the things that we're going to talk about this morning. Okay, so diagnosis. The Lassen Street Church of Christ has experienced a significant numerical decline even before COVID even happened. Okay, and COVID has made the situation much worse because it's made it challenging for some people to attend. The problem, if not corrected soon, will put us at a tipping point. And by tipping point, I mean a point of no return where we can't fix the problem. We still have the talent, and we have the workers, and we have a lot of stuff going on our side right now. We want to take advantage of that right now. All right. There has also been a significant change of focus in looking inwardly to ourselves and forgetting our mission. The scripture that was read this morning was the Great Commission. That was not by accident. Folks, that's our mission. Baptize, make disciples. That's job one. Now, we have only had one baptism since COVID started. Let that sink in for a minute. One baptism since COVID started. Thank goodness I got to change that slide because it was going to say there has not been a baptism since COVID started. Okay? This is scary stuff. This should bug you, bother you. Okay? Spur us to action. Love and good works. Okay? How did we get here? The decline has been so gradual that it has been easy to deny it. We simply have not implemented and used enough tools that can help us grow as a congregation. We were in the beginning stages of starting to use some tools when COVID hit. We'd started a program called Welcome to the Family, which we're going to start to use again. But there's a lot of tools at our disposal that we need to be using that can help us to grow. We have become too complacent at times about how we have neglected the main purpose of the church, and that is to baptize and make disciples, right? We may have changed our focus to being a congregation that wants to be served rather than a congregation that wants to serve. I'm going to read that again. We may have changed our focus into being a congregation that wants to be served rather than a congregation that wants to serve. When you think about your place in this congregation today, do you think of it as an opportunity that you'll have to serve? Or do you think of it as an opportunity that you get to be served something? We want to be the people that want to serve, okay? Some things will never change. And, you know, some of the things I saw in these books were good. Some of them were, I don't think we want to have a worship team and an orchestra and all of that stuff. All right, we're not doing that, okay? So things that will never change here at Lassen Street as long as I draw breath in my lungs. Our doctrine will remain New Testament doctrine. Our leadership model will remain biblical, and our worship will remain biblical. It's important, if you're going to talk about some things that need to change, that you talk about some things that will never change. Draw comfort from that, okay? Essentially, we're all going to change. The only thing we're going to change is our hearts and our methods. The world around us has changed, and we have not evolved to reach the world we now find ourselves living in. Many a congregation has caved to using bands, worship teams, and even Saturday worship. That's not going to happen here, okay? There's some things that we can work on, some methods that we can use that we can be quite productive, but we're not going to cave to what other people are doing. We're going to stand by the word as it was written for us. Now, here's the hurdles we have. And the only reason I say this is because I've noticed this as you get older, you tend to be nostalgic and think about the good old days. Guys, when I first came here, Mare Island was open. And believe it or not, Mare Island over there was refueling nuclear submarines. Let that sink in for a minute. That's how long ago it was that I came here. This congregation was 250, had elders, lots of deacons. And now, look, it's not that congregation anymore. We got a lot of work to do, and we're going to do that. We cannot have an inward focus. We just cannot have that and get away with it. Our focus needs to be saving souls, and nothing else will do. Okay? We're going to take care of each other, but our focus has to be outward. Too much worry about facilities and not enough on saving souls. Budgets that tend to be inwardly focused rather than on saving souls. Simply falling into, and I made this term up, simply falling into Great Commission amnesia. We have forgotten our purpose, okay? We have strayed. We need to go back to what that is. Everything should revolve around what our mission is. I actually went back one time. There was this article on the internet that talked about all these people, when they had passed away, what their last words were, you know, John Wayne, JFK, all their last words that they said before they died. It was really kind of spooky, actually. Christ's last words before he went back to heaven was the Great Commission. That's powerful. That was the last thing he told us. That's a lot of emphasis if you think about it, okay? We cannot afford to have Great Commission amnesia. Here's the good news. We have the talent and the passion to put us back on course. If we act now, we have the biblical model to follow to begin growing again. And we will be looking for alternate methods that are biblical to spread the news. This will take work, passion, but we are up to the challenge. The leadership fully supports any biblical method that can cause us to grow. I'm going to say that again. The leadership fully supports any biblical method that can cause us to grow. Now we're going to start looking at some tools in our tool chest here a little bit. This is tool number one. This is a tool that we were taught, I think it was about 2.5 or 3 years ago. Welcome to the family. That is an entire framework of how we deal with our guests and how we deal with people when they come to follow up with them. This is very valuable. Take this back up. We paid for this. We've been trained on it. We're going to use it. These tools that we've been trained on, we'll put back in place. The number one factor on growing is follow-up with our guests and absentee mirrors. I saw that in 3 of these books. Number one, following up with our guests. Now, remember I told you about the Barno book. The Barno method is a cookie cutter methodology that has been shown to produce the following results. First time visitors return at a rate of 88%. That's phenomenal. Of the follow up visitors, 50% of them eventually want to join the congregation. Now, I'm just going to tell you a little bit about this individual, about the Barno method. This guy literally tried 100 to 150 different variations of follow-up to find out what ended up being the most productive. And when he found that sweet spot, he wrote a book about it. How to follow up properly. Very important. Okay? It even goes so far as to tell you, when you take them out for a cup of coffee, the four questions that you should ask them when you're talking to them over a cup of coffee. It's very specific. It's a method that we could easily adopt, and it's certainly biblical. Okay. Focus group. This is brand new. I've never heard of a church doing this before, but I think it's needed. It's called the 2818 Focus Group. Most of you can guess why I called it the 2818 Focus Group, because of the Great Commission. The 2818 group will be a group of people that will talk and implement plans for outreach. There will be an open and honest discussion of any ideas people may have. No biblical options are off the table. First meeting is scheduled for December 19th, and there's a sign-up list right down here. Sign up on the sheet here after services to attend, and I'll be up here after church to address any questions that you might have. More on this focus group. The group will focus on programs that will help us grow. It will be focusing specifically on actionable programs that will have an impact. I don't want to hear about any pie in the sky program. I want to hear about stuff we can do and we can implement. Okay. Now, this is very important. What kind of people need to be in this group? Now, if you know me and Karen very much, I am the starter and the ideas guy. I have a million ideas in my head. Most of them are worthless, but some of them are good. Some of the ideas I have are very good. And when I share the ideas with Karen, she filters through and tells me if it's a good idea or not. So that's why there's three types of people that need to come to this meeting. We need to have people that are idea people. There's some people in here that have outstanding ideas. I talked to our youth minister a couple, 3 weeks ago, and he had an awesome idea about having a radio spot for our church. And it wasn't even very expensive. We need idea people to come to this focus group. People that can look, and the second type of person we need are people that can look critically and tell us why something may not work. Maybe you're one of those kind of people that can hear an idea and think, okay, here's what... this may not work because we'll have to overcome this, and that will cause it not to work. We need those people in the focus group meeting, okay? And there will be those people, and I love these people that really want to work in an outreach effort. They're dying. They're chomping at the bit to find something that they can do in an outreach effort. So these are the three people that we need at this meeting. Now, there's a sign-up list down here. It's going to be on the 19th right after services. We're going to be providing a socially distanced lunch, and we're going to talk about some things, okay? We're going to talk about some programs. Here's some more information. Basically, what we're going to do is we're going to try some things, and these things are going to be in phases. For example, the first phase will be the trial phase. So we have a very small budget just as we try it, see if it might work. If it seems to work, then we may move it to the beta phase where we improve upon it and give it a little bit more budget. And then if we see it's working very well, we'll move it into the full phase, and we'll give it full budgeting. Understand how this is going to work. Start small, try. If it works, improve it, keep trying. Is it productive? Let's go for it, right? This is all a pipeline of stuff we're going to try to do. These meetings have to be about actionable programs. We can start very quickly. We will focus initially on things that we can get off the ground very soon. Okay, we want to start this. Okay, now some other tools that I found in these books, and this one was about Big Day's ministry, was in the church growth flywheel. Basically, opportunities when we have to ask people to come to services that they're more likely to say yes to. Christmas, Easter, right? Big days, so taking advantage of those big days and having a type of Friends Day on those days. Using a special series of lessons to attract guests, right? And here's one, making full use of social media, right? Local focus. Members need to like our post on Facebook to spread the news. So go on Facebook and like our church's posts. That's very important. Use special service opportunities in our communities to get our name out to the community that makes us unique. We're going to have a Love Week. We'll talk about that more later. It's a week of service where one of the things that churches need to do, I want people that work at the grocery outlet to know about Lassen Street Church of Christ. I want people in the community to know about our church. I don't want to be this church that's kind of hidden, secret and hidden, that nobody in the community, we want to get our name out there. We want people to be interested to come to check us out. So that's a very important thing to do. Guest Day Barbecue, we've tried this in the past. We'll try it again. Radio commercials, our youth minister told me about this. It looks very interesting. And this is one we're going to spend a lot of money and effort on, handing out professionally made flyers to invite people to church, right? Give you an example. If you were going to hand a brochure to somebody, what would you put on that front page to make sure that they'd want to open the brochure and read more about us, right? Those kinds of things. Perfect thing to work at in the focus group. What do you think would work here? Okay. And once we get these professionally made flyers that we can hand out to invite guests, we're going to have a first Sunday challenge to get you to hand out one flyer a month to somebody to invite them to church. Everybody can do one flyer a month, don't you think? One flyer a month, okay? Get people going through the door so that we can invite them and follow up with them. Now this is exciting. We have a lot of programs. We need a lot of help. Deacon nomination today. You'll find up on the table today forms available to nominate deacons. Please fill one out. We need your input. We need more deacons for more programs to help us grow. Right here on the table is a stack of deacon nomination forms. Please fill one out, okay? This is very important. There's also a couple things I need to talk to you about as well. Next Sunday is going to be a very fun Sunday. We have a man that's going to be coming to try out here. His name is Gary Davenport. He's from Alabama. He's an older gentleman, very nice gentleman. I've talked to him on the phone for several hours. He's going to be here. He's going to do the class Sunday morning, and then he's going to do the lesson Sunday night. So you'll get a chance to meet him and try out, see what kind of teacher he is, see what kind of preacher he is. This is next Sunday coming up. Now, let me just tell you something. When preachers try out, you get their best lesson and you get their best sermon. So next Sunday is going to be a good Sunday. Good lesson, good sermon. Yes, I don't like having to look for new preachers, but I love it when they try out because they just put forth such good lessons. Wow. Okay, the Lassen Street Church stands at an important point in time. This is the time to act. Failure to do so would be a real problem for our future. We need troopers. What is a trooper? A trooper is anyone who is willing to do whatever it takes to succeed. It is a person that will not only work in difficult circumstances, but thrives. Let me read that last sentence again. It is a person that will not only work in difficult circumstances, but thrives on difficult circumstances. Tough. We need tough, okay? That's what we need. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be a lot of work, but it's worth it, right? We need to grow. This, hopefully you can read this. It looks pretty good up there. It doesn't look so good on my screen. This is something I found, and this, the first time I wrote this, I cried. I'm just going to tell you, you might cry from reading this, so just be so warned. Martin A. Treptow, a young and obscure American private killed in France in World War I, was written into American history books by President Reagan today because of a letter Mr. Reagan received from an unidentified admirer. Toward the end of the inaugural address, President Reagan spoke of monuments to heroism and with the struggle to control his voice, drew attention to the sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, where it is row upon row of simple white markers. And this is what he said. Under such a marker lies a young man, Martin Trepto, who left his job in a small town barbershop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division, Mr. Reagan said. After Private Trepto was killed, a diary was found in which he had inscribed the following pledge. America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure, I will fight cheerfully, and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. What if everybody in here had this? Therefore, for you, therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure, I will fight cheerfully, and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. That's what your mentality should be right there. It all depends on you. Don't leave it on the elders. Don't leave it on the church, the preacher. Don't leave it on the deacons. It depends on you. Every one of you out there has a job to do. We have vineyards that need to be dressed. We have seeds that need to be planted, right, when it comes to this kind of stuff. We have work to do. This stage that I'm standing on was the stage that I was married on. I was married right here to Karen many, many decades, 3 decades ago. I have so many memories of this congregation here, of the vacation Bible schools and the silly rooster song, of the teaching of the teens, of the all of the stuff that we've done here that's so good. It would be awful if this wasn't here anymore. Think about that for a second. We got work to do, right? And I'm going to try to head the charge, as any good leader would, but I need people behind me to back me up and to follow me, and we have hard work to do. I hope that you're willing to do it. Yeah, let's go. Amen. I want to end by reading something from Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 21. Matthew 7 and verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. How would you like to have gotten to the end of your days and you were lukewarm, and you didn't do what you should have done? You didn't fight like Private Trepto. You didn't fight. You didn't endure. You just sat. Get to the end of your days and hear these words from Christ. I never knew you because you didn't follow. Those are sad words. Those are probably as sad words in the Bible as you can hear. I don't want to get to the end of my days and hear those words, and I know that you don't either. We got work to do. We're going to put our heads down, and we're going to get to it. So hopefully this lesson has been an encouragement to you and to see that we are concerned and that we have a direction that we're going in, okay? This focus group is going to be big time. We have ideas, and we have people listening to those ideas that might not think they're good ideas, and we'll try to redirect those things, but we have a lot of work to do, and I hope that you will join us in the vineyard because we got work to do, folks. And I would encourage, if you have any needs, if you want to be baptized, if you have something that you need to come forward to, I would encourage you to come while together we stand and sing.